Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Carvu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking Packers football, and here on a Monday morning, there is surprisingly a lot to talk about. I had expected to be going over Packers family night tonight, but that's going to be merely a footnote in light of the most recent news regarding the Green Bay Packers. Just last evening, two very big items of information surfaced. Perhaps the biggest one being an injury suffered to Packers left tackle Brian Bulaga. Let me point out right away, nothing has been confirmed by the team, but it all started with a tweet from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat writer Bob McGinn that Packers left tackle Brian Bulaga had suffered an injury during Saturday night's family night intra-squad scrimmage to his knee. We know nothing more specific than that right now, although Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com has reported that it is a torn ACL. I do not know if it is the left knee or the right knee. Brian Bulaga suffered an injury to his left hip last season that placed him on injured reserve, but I can't tell you which knee it is right now, but that is the word from Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com. Nothing has been confirmed by the team. Bob McGinn had said the Packers are praying for the best, but preparing for the worst, or something like that. They are preparing as if Bulaga will be lost for the season. Although, once again, you know, maybe there is a miraculous hope there here that Brian Bulaga will be ready for the season. Also, last night, and we'll talk more about this later, I want to spend the beginning of today's show talking about Brian Bulaga, but we're not going to skimp on Vince Young news either here this morning. We'll be getting to that in a little bit. Vince Young reportedly being brought in for a workout, according to the Green Bay Press Gazette. Vince Young, as you probably well know, if you are an NFL fan and you're listening to this show, you know, former college football superstar, former first round draft choice, former Pro Bowler. Although in recent seasons, the recent seasons haven't been so kind to Vince Young, being a journeyman NFL quarterback and having off-field issues as well. But I'm going to tell you a little bit later why Vince Young is being brought in as a scout team quarterback for the read option. More on that in a little while. But let's, you know, that's the Packers haven't even signed Vince Young yet, so I'm going to start with the Brian Bulaga news. And again, I want to emphasize this, nothing is confirmed, and who knows, maybe the Packers will get lucky, and once they look at the x-rays a little more closely, or the MRIs, or whatever it is they're doing, maybe they'll get a little boost of good news. I suppose if there was any silver lining here, it's that maybe that there is still a month to go until the regular season starts. So there is some time for Brian Bulaga to recuperate, maybe if it isn't serious enough. But, you know, the Packers spent the off season making this offensive line shuffle. They did it because they thought Brian Bulaga was the best tackle on the team, so he should be protecting Aaron Rodgers' backside. Big move made in the offseason. A lot of attention has been paid to it. They spent a lot of time trying to get these guys comfortable. Brian Bulaga at left tackle, and then any number of players fighting for the right tackle job. They moved the guards as well. Flip-flop Josh Sitton and TJ Lang. So, you know, big off-season deal in Green Bay that this happened. Now, Brian Bulaga reportedly going down with a knee injury. So where do the Packers go from here? I think what you're looking at is two realistic options the Packers could go in at left tackle. They could either go with the incumbent starter, Marshall Newhouse, who has started there for much of the past two seasons. Pretty much all of the last two seasons. Well, early in 2011, Chad Clifton was your starting left tackle, but it was just, what, four games into the year about that Newhouse replaced him? In addition, the other option the Packers have is rookie David Bakhtiari, one of the pleasant surprises of training camp so far. How far along Bakhtiari looks in just his first year in the NFL. Now, forced to guess, I would say the Packers would go ahead and put Marshall Newhouse back at left tackle. Am I confident in that decision? Not terribly, but forced to guess, that's where I think they'd go right now, simply because of the familiarity. I think while people are positive about David Bakhtiari, they're hopeful about David Bakhtiari that he's going to be this future superstar, I just don't think that it's a guarantee right now that he is going to be ready week one to be the Packers' starting left tackle. I think that is a little bit of wishful thinking at this point. Now, certainly, there is four preseason games to change my mind. Maybe he will be up to the task. But I think with Marshall Newhouse, he's been protecting Aaron Rodgers' backside the last 2 years. Some may argue that he hasn't done it quite as well as some others. But I do think you are seeing an improved Marshall Newhouse. No doubt about it, I think 2011 was a rough year for Newhouse's first year at left tackle. It didn't do all that great. Allowed a lot of pressure, allowed a lot of hits, allowed a lot of sacks on Aaron Rodgers. But I do think Marshall Newhouse improved in 2012. Not enough for some people's likes, but I do think he took steps forward in 2012 and became a better offensive lineman, did a better job protecting Aaron Rodgers. You have to consider, basically, I remember going through Bob McGinn's postseason report card for the Green Bay Packers, and he had detailed how Marshall Newhouse basically allowed the same amount of pressure in 2012 as he did in 2011. Allowed the same amount of pressure, hits, sacks, generally, roughly, same amount from 2011 to 2012. But what you have to consider is Marshall Newhouse played in about three more games in 2012 than he did in 2011. Because in 2011, Chad Clifton was the starter coming out of training camp. It wasn't until Clifton suffered that injury that Newhouse took over. So I think you saw a lot of improvement from Marshall Newhouse from year one to year two as a starter in the Packers offense. I do think he will be okay over there, and I think you'll see Marshall Newhouse take yet another step in his development. And, you know, once again, the silver lining here is if they want to make the switch, well, it hasn't been too long since Marshall Newhouse was a right tackle. You switch him back over to the left side, he still has every preseason game to get ready there as well. And that does not preclude David Bakhtiari from being a candidate at starter then on the right side. You would think, once again, it's going to go back down to being a fight between Don Barclay getting another shot at right tackle. Kind of been this whole interesting thing about what's happening with Don Barclay this offseason, because he's been working at center, he's been working at right tackle, Don Barclay's been working at guard, he's been working everywhere and hasn't really had a chance to get comfortable and settle in at any one place. but maybe this injury would prompt them to work him a little bit more at right tackle. You've got David Bakhtiari there, and Bakhtiari, in fact, will be your top backup at either tackle, worst case scenario. You know, David Bakhtiari is still going to be your backup left tackle regardless. He's still going to work there and get practice time there. It's just a matter of what do the Packers do with their starting lineup. You know, I would have to think now that if Brian Bulaga's injury, that our worst fears are confirmed, he is out for the year. I would think you're looking at Marshall Newhouse at left tackle, you're looking at David Bakhtiari at right tackle, and you're looking at Don Barclay as the jack-of-all-trades backup offensive lineman. You know, things have really not worked out from an injury standpoint on the offensive line this year. Going back to the offseason program, going back to May, I really do believe, and the Packers haven't come out and said this, the coaching staff just doesn't want to go out on a limb and say this, but I think they were really hoping for J.C. Treader to be the backup center this year. You know, they draft the guy in the fourth round this year. It's kind of been thought he would be an interior offensive lineman in the NFL. I really think they were hoping he would be the backup center. So they could use Don Barclay at tackle and guard. They wouldn't have to worry about him, you know, on the interior or at least at the center position. Well, that happens, and now all of a sudden they need Don Barclay to be the backup center. They need somebody to be the primary backup. You can argue till you're blue in the face about the Packers having other options at center like Garth Gerhardt and Patrick Lewis and Greg Van Roten. Well, the Packers are trying to figure out, are these guys even worthy of being on the regular season roster? Forget about that, you know, off-season 90-man roster during training camp. They're looking for one of seven guys who are going to be active on game days. So that's why they've been working Don Barclay there so hard. He's been getting practice time there all training camp. But now I'm not sure where they go from here with Don Barclay, whether they throw him back out at right tackle. Because, I mean, as far as starters go, Evan Dietrich Smith's the man. I mean, there's no question about it. He's the firm starter at center. So maybe they just try to get Barclay ready at right tackle now. Maybe that's the way they go. But they still got this whole David Bakhtiari thing to worry about too, where he's going to be. I mean, Bakhtiari, it looks like, is going to be your swing tackle. Right tackle, left tackle, just a matter of whether he's in the starting lineup or not. So there's a lot of options the Packers could go here now that we've learned that Brian Bulaga has reportedly suffered a torn ACL. Again, not confirmed, but that's what the reports say. And it's not looking good right now. I don't know why people would be making this up. The Packers haven't had a press conference since they've learned this information. It reportedly happened during family night. Kind of interesting that Brian Bulaga would have played through it, though. Nobody ever really noticed anything was wrong that I saw, so I'm not really sure where this is coming from. I even had somebody just before the show started ask me on Twitter, this didn't by chance happen when the whole offensive line did the Lambeau leap during their scrimmage. And I'm doubting that's the case, but I do not really know. I don't know where this came from. I didn't see any case where Brian Bulaga fell down, where he appeared injured. I did not notice it, but I'm sure this is not coming out of thin air. This is probably a legitimate thing. So, where we go from here, I'm not really sure. Thank you everybody so much for tuning in this Monday morning at Railbird Central here at CheeseheadTV.com. Now, we've talked about Brian Bulaga. I also want to get to the speculation about Vince Young. The news first came from the Green Bay Press Gazette. reporting that Vince Young was spotted at the airport in Green Bay yesterday and reporting that he has a workout today in Green Bay. And by the way, Packers have a closed practice today during training camp. It isn't often that they have a closed practice during training camp. Those are almost always open to the public. You know, in August, they're almost always open to the public. But today there's a closed practice. Doesn't begin till 1:50 p.m. So we're talking afternoon here. They're giving the players, they gave them all yesterday off. Appears they're giving them this morning off to kind of rest and recover from Saturday night's scrimmage and getting back to it later today. So things taking place behind closed doors, but apparently we'll have Vince Young in for a workout. Now, here, my opinion is that this is not a legitimate quarterback competition that's taking place here. I agree. Graham Harrell has not exactly lit the world on fire since, you know, coming to Green Bay. I mean, this is what? Now, Graham Harrell's fourth year in Green Bay, he has never really done a whole lot to inspire confidence in being the top backup to Aaron Rodgers. And neither has B.J. Coleman, for that matter. In fact, I do admit, Graham Harrell looked good in Saturday night's scrimmage. He looks surprisingly good, and B.J. Coleman looks surprisingly bad. B.J. Coleman, of course, throwing two interceptions Saturday night. Didn't look good. But still, I do not think Vince Young is being brought in as a legitimate competition to B.J. Coleman and Graham Harrell for that top backup number two quarterback gig in Green Bay. I don't think that's the case. The Packers will probably insist that it is. Mike McCarthy will be asked about it, and he'll insist Vince Young is here to compete for the job. And Mike, Ted Thompson will be asked about it, and he'll insist that he's there to compete for the job. And you know what? Yeah, certainly, Vince Young would be a insurance policy should any injury happen to Graham Harrell or B.J. Coleman, knock on wood. You know, Vince Young would be there. He's learning the Packers offense, sure. But is he going to beat these guys out? No. What the Packers are doing is they basically have a luxury here. Vince Young would be a luxury signing for the Packers as read option prep work. Now remember, the Packers in the regular season face two of the most athletic quarterbacks in the NFL. Week one, they go out to San Francisco. They see Colin Kaepernick. I don't need to remind Packers fans what happened last year against Colin Kaepernick in the NFL playoffs. This is a guy who ran for 181 yards, an NFL record for a quarterback against the Packers defense last season. On top of that, in week two, they face RG3, Robert Griffin III, and the Washington Redskins. Again, presumably, though, RG3's knee is healed and he's ready in time for the regular season. But still, the Packers have the luxury here of signing Vince Young and basically having him be the scout team quarterback, getting a guy, an athletic QB, to run the show that the Packers can practice against for the rest of training camp if they want. There's no hurt in doing this, I don't think, because the roster is at 90 right now during training camp. The Packers have had 89 roster spots filled for weeks now, pretty much ever since the start of training camp. I remember they signed Omarius Hines there, you know, just a few days into training camp, I think is how it worked out. Ever since they signed Hines, they've been at 89 players, so they've had this roster spot open for a long time. The Packers don't have to cut anybody to do this, and even if they did, they could probably place Sendarek Cunningham on injured reserve. He just broke his wrist at the open of training camp, so it's not really a big deal. They have this open roster spot. Why not sign Vince Young, even if it's just for being a scout team QB? Yeah, people will point to Vince Young has off-field problems. He's not worth bringing into the locker room. He'll be a cancer. Well, you know what? I don't think he'll be a training camp cancer, you know, because of his off-field issues. He's not even a guarantee to make the team. And you know, if Vince Young is really wants to impress, well, you know, being the 90th guy on the roster, you know, he better, you know, be good in the locker room. He better stay out of trouble or anything like that. And you know what? If he goes and starts trouble, well, the Packers can cut him pretty much with no skin off their nose. I mean, Vince Young is not in a position of power here. Ever since being cut by the Buffalo Bills last training camp, that was his last time spent on an NFL roster, and he only played in the preseason. He didn't make their regular season roster. He's been out of work ever since. No other team has wanted to take a chance on Vince Young. So he's not, you know, it's this is his only foot in the door. This is his only chance. If he wants to be on an NFL roster, well, you know, the Packers can basically afford to kind of use him in a way. And but again, I mean, not that I don't think that he'll be learning the Packers offense. I'm sure they'll try to attempt to teach him it a little bit. But as far as him winning a roster spot, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's being brought in to be the scout team QB. You know, he's going to give that Packers defense, their first team defense, a look. He's going to be working against the first team D, you know, whenever they're practicing to go against Colin Kaepernick, they're practicing to go against RG3. Vince Young's going to be running the show, trying to beat Kaepernick, trying to do his best impersonation of Colin Kaepernick. And it's going to be Clay Matthews and B.J. Raji and Dayton Jones and those guys, you know, trying to tackle him, you know, trying to work against him, trying to get in position. And Vince Young's going to freelance. He's going to scramble all over the place. That's what I see happening. Now, as far as what happens with the Packers' backup quarterback job, that still remains to be seen. I mean, no doubt about it. It was a big time disappointment to see B.J. Coleman play as poor as he did in Saturday night scrimmage. In fact, he got the first snaps after Aaron Rodgers did on Saturday evening. It kind of looked like the Packers were kind of trending towards B.J. Coleman going from the number two to the number three guy. Of course, Coleman spending all last year on the practice squad, learning the Packers offense, things like that, but not really having a chance to be on the roster at all. Well, this year, I think they were looking at Coleman to supplant Graham Harrell. B.J. Coleman has all the measurables. He's bigger than Graham Harrell. He's taller. He weighs more. He's got the stronger arm. He's your more prototypical quarterback. No doubt about it. B.J. Coleman, from a physical tools standpoint, he looks more like your NFL quarterback than Graham Harrell. But Graham Harrell does kind of have the edge in accuracy. Even if he doesn't have that, you know, strong arm, you know, Graham Harrell does have good accuracy, and he showed that in the scrimmage Saturday night. Graham Harrell looked good. He didn't make any spectacular plays, but he showed command of the Packers offense, and he showed he can distribute the football. He was accurate. A lot of them were short passes. He did have the one touchdown on a swing pass to Angelo Pease out of the backfield. Nothing spectacular there, just a little, you know, dump off to the running back, but still, you know, not turning the ball over. And that's where, of course, B.J. Coleman went wrong, turning the ball over. Two interceptions during family night, you know, and neither of them looked good. On the one that was a pick six, who returned that? James Nixon had the pick six that he returned for a touchdown long ways. You know, Coleman stared down the wide receiver, and people will point out that his intended receiver, Jeremy Ross, fell down on the field. But you know, it's you know, I think that's beside the point. I think that ball was being picked off whether Ross fell down or not. That was a pick six regardless. Coleman staring down the receiver. On top of that, throwing the interception on a jump ball in the end zone in which he tried to go to. I think it was Ross again, right? He tried to hit Ross both of those. Or was it Alex Gillett, maybe? I forget. But again, beside the point, Coleman throwing that ball into the corner of the end zone. That gets picked off by another unheralded cornerback. I think that one was picked off by Brandon Smith, the converted wide receiver. And so, you know, not only is Coleman getting picked off, he's getting picked off by two guys who have never played in an NFL game before. You know, he didn't have his interceptions against Sam Shields or Tremont Williams or Devon House. These were interceptions against practice squad QBs, guys who have never played in a regular season NFL game before. So, you know, B.J. Coleman showed he's still got a long way to go if he's going to be the backup quarterback. No doubt about it. Got a long way to go. So there is a lot. You know, the Packers have to sort out here. I think, you know, of course, they're getting ready for their first preseason game this upcoming week against the Arizona Cardinals. It's at home in Green Bay. I don't think you're going to see Aaron Rodgers play a whole lot. He'll probably play one series, I would say, maybe two if they go a three and out. But Aaron Rodgers is not going to play even the total of one full quarter. He'll play a series, and then they are going to give Graham Harrell and B.J. Coleman a lot of playing time in the first preseason game. Those guys are probably going to split snaps. They're probably going to give each of them 50%, you know, from there on out, I would guess. That's the way I would do it if I were them. You know, see who plays the best in a game situation. Give them as much playing time as possible, and you know, because and the first preseason game is the time to see these guys the most, because you know, after this, the second preseason game, well, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to play a little bit more. The third preseason game, Aaron Rodgers is going to play at least a half. You know, he'll probably play into the third quarter. So then those opportunities for the backup quarterbacks are going to decrease a little bit. And sure, if they sign Vince Young, I might give him a snap here or there at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, just in good faith. But other than that, I think you gotta be looking at Harrell and Coleman for being the core. I just don't think Vince Coleman, you've seen enough of him at an NFL level to know he's not the answer. You know, I just don't think it's that way. You know, the other interesting thing, of course, is that, you know, B.J. Coleman has practice squad eligibility yet, and Graham Harrell doesn't. So if they make B.J. Coleman the backup, the number two QB, they got to cut Graham Harrell or keep him on as a number three quarterback on the 53-man roster. It's not something the Packers want to do if their quarterbacks are healthy. They don't want to have to keep a third quarterback on the 53 on the regular season roster. They've kind of been against that. They've kind of been keeping, let's keep a guy in the practice squad and develop him, kind of an emergency if they ever need to sign him off the practice squad. But you know, they might be forced to go with Harrell once again and then keep Coleman on the practice squad, you know, because he just isn't ready yet. Just not ready to be that number two guy. But again, there is time to change our mind. The Packers aren't going to, you know, make up their mind based on one, you know, family night scrimmage. And, you know, the same thing kind of goes for Mason Crosby as well. Of course, Mason Crosby hitting 3 of 8 field goals on family night, 2 of 6 during the field goal competition at the very end. Mason Crosby's on very thin ice right now, I would say. You know, it just looked like a continuation of his issues from last season. They were a big issue last year. They stuck with him. I don't know how much the Packers can afford to wait on Mason Crosby anymore. You know, I thought he would have a whole off season to clear his head and would come back. Maybe he wouldn't be the best kicker in the NFL, but I thought he would be an average, you know, come back and get rid of those shanks that were so bad. Well, he shanked one again on Saturday night. Again, it was on a long field goal, a 53-yarder. But man, oh man, things did not look good. You know, it's past 9 o'clock now. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday morning, folks, here at Railbird Central. We talked about the Packers' left tackle position with Brian Blog reportedly being injured. We talked about Vince Young, you know, being brought in for a workout, and I think he would be a scout team read option QB. We'll find out what happens here in the next few days. Like I said, Mike McCarthy does have a press conference. Despite practice not being open to the public today, Mike McCarthy will meet the media this evening, right after practice. Practice takes place at 1:50 p.m. Practice lasts about 2 hours, let's say. So practice ending about 4 p.m., a little after 4 p.m., Mike McCarthy will talk. It'll be streamed live at Packers.com. There will be plenty for him to discuss regarding Brian Bulaga, reporting regarding Vince Young. So a lot of topics today in the world of the Green Bay Packers. So stay tuned for that later today. But I'll see you later, everyone. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. I'm going to get more back on the Packers news trail here and see what's going on. So we'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called All Inside by Kyle Hollingsworth on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.